for your presence with us, Lord. We're so grateful that we can be with you and that you are with us. As we look at your word now, Lord, we pray that you would help us, guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, you turn to Exodus chapter 3. It's not on the screen this morning, so if you haven't got it in front of you, then listen. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you're standing on is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it's I that sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on the mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he'll let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold for clothing. And you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. This is the word of the Lord. Well, next week, we officially enter into the Advent season for 2019. Our preparation for Christmas begins. And I have to admit, my experience of Christmas really depends on largely how well I prepare for it, practically and spiritually. I have an amazing wife. without whom, you know, and without her incredible ability and preparation, Christmas in our house when the children were growing up would have been, well, different, for sure. And I mean, she is blessed with the spiritual gift of shopping. And I am not. shopping online was created for me. And I've just got like, a complete aversion to go browsing shops. Browsing online with my slippers on in front of a lovely fire. That sounds great. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, preparation. It's such a busy time of the year. Such a busy time of the year. And as a church, we have our traditions that we prepare for. The nativity, the carol service, the singing, the Frost family pantomime. Some people wait all year for that one. Some people take all year getting over it. but it wouldn't be Christmas without it. And we know about the practical preparations. But what about the spiritual? You see, I think without the spiritual preparation and focus, Christmas is exhausting. Physically, emotionally, and for many, economically. And I don't really believe that Christmas should leave us feeling depleted. I don't think that's what Father God had in mind and what he wants for us. Quite the opposite, in fact. I believe that there is untold joy in remembering and celebrating together the gift of God in Christ. But I think the key to that is how we prepare. And this theme of preparation is one that I want to pick up on this morning. Just as preparing ourselves for Christmas helps prevent or helps us experience the fullness and the true meaning of Christmas, it's also a small snapshot of how God is at work within us, constantly working, preparing us to become into the fullness of our maturity, of our calling as his sons and daughters. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to come and lead us into this truth. Truth that enables us to see and understand God's word and how it applies to us. The Holy Spirit brings power into our lives that works to renew our minds and help develop godly character within us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and gives us divine wisdom, knowledge, and revelation of God's future for us. And the Holy Spirit works through us, empowering us to perform all kinds of signs and wonders that demonstrate the advent, the coming of God's kingdom on earth. Jesus inaugurated. And then he passed it on to us and said, it's coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. It's now and then. And it's this constant. When we shared it this morning, I was so grateful for Brian. It's twice this week that he's confirmed what I should be preaching on. Amen. I love it. It's great. Thank you, Lord. but I had this verse. And we all with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to one another. And this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's fantastic. And it's an incredible journey that we're on. And it's all very exciting in theory and in practice. But also we need to understand that sometimes it doesn't happen quite the way we expect it to or that we want it to. The way that we want it to happen is not the way that God always wants it to happen. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the reality is that sometimes that can be a difficult place to be. It can be quite unnerving. It can leave us feeling quite vulnerable. And so I want to address this morning. I want to address how we can wait well when God is working in us, around us and through us to bring us into a place of maturity. And how his word and the fullness of that word sometimes tarries. How can we wait well? Over the past 10 years, my understanding and experience of the gifts of prophecy, knowledge, and wisdom have grown. And I've really come to appreciate more how the Holy Spirit leads us and creates faith within me for something that I didn't see before and I couldn't even imagine before. And there's an unveiling which comes through the prophetic that works in tandem with our faith. It drives us further into seeing and believing and participating in the coming kingdom of God. And it's amazing. But sometimes it's difficult it's great actually when that word foretells something and then it happens next week. Or it happens the day after. We love it when God does that. That's great. But what happens when that word, you know, goes from a week to a month to a year into 10 years? The hope with which we sometimes hold on to with these words that God speaks into our lives can feel a little bit like holding on to an ice cube. You know, when you first get it, it feels really firm in your hand and you're going, yes, I've got it. The longer you hold on to it, it starts to, you know, you can't actually, it feels like it's slipping through your fingers and you can't hold onto it all. It does feel, I don't know if anybody else feels like that, but that's how I felt sometimes. It's been part of my experience and really what I was wanting to address. I don't come as an expert in this, but I do want to humbly share what I feel God has laid on my heart to hopefully encourage you and hopefully reinstall and reinforce energy, enthusiasm, and expectation on the promises that God has made to you and to me. I just want to share a few points this morning that I'm putting out there a little bit. And I deliberately read that on Moses because Moses is just a great example of somebody that received the word of God. I mean, Moses' life was totally in process. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and then he stepped into the fullness of his calling as leader of Israel. So there's hope for us yet. Okay? Amen? Okay, great. Well, the first thing that I want to say is this. Having a strong and clear prophetic foundation for our lives is vital. Let me explain those words. What I mean by a strong, clear prophetic foundation is means that and we might call it our calling. You know, it's words that God has spoken over and into our lives that give us some direction. Okay? And I may be stating the obvious with this, but it really does need to be said. Generally, for ministry, but in life in general, personal, corporate, having a prophetic calling on our life, I really believe is vital. When some of you weren't around at the beginning of Eden Church, and when we started the church, when the two churches, we went through a bit of a process, and the two churches were coming together. It got to that point, you know, where the Lord had given us faith as leaders to do something new. And it was great, and it seemed to be coming together. And I started to pray, Lord, that's great, but now what? What do we do now? Where do we go from here, you know? And right at that point, in that time, the Lord gave me this picture. And I shared it with some of you, but some of you I haven't shared it with. But it's the picture of a house, a Victorian house, that was fairly old, like the ones you see in Penarth. And it got raised to the ground, and then it needed to be rebuilt. And so the Lord brought in a bunch of builders, or the owner brought in a bunch of builders, and they rebuilt the house. And it was great, but it looked exactly the same. It looked a lot newer, but it was exactly the same as it was before. And the owner of the house came in and said, oh, it's not what I wanted. And I said, well, what do you want? He said, well, I want you to start again. And I want you to go and I want you to build a room by here. And I want you to go and build another room by here. And then take a team of workers and go build another room by there and another room by there. And room by room, this house got built. And it wasn't conventional, but it was functional. And eventually it was a thing of incredible beauty and design. And then the Lord said, Psalm 127, verse 1. And I have to confess, I didn't know what Psalm 127, verse 1 said. So I had to look it up. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. I believe that was a prophetic calling upon Eden Church. The Lord gave us faith for something new, and that's what we were supposed to do. And I mean, I got that. When the Lord has shared that with me, I say, I get that, but how?
And he said, well, get them to follow me. Get them to follow me. Listen to what I will say, and I'll lead you into it. And there will be people that will step up, and they will get a particular vision for the things that I'm calling them into. And that's what we've experienced very early on in our existence together. There were people who said, Michelle said, you know, I don't want to, I work with kids, that's great, but my heart, my passion is to do something with the older folks. And so Spice of Life Ministry was birthed. Sarah birthed the Bethel Sozo ministry. We started Cafe Church. There were lots of things that started to spring up amongst us. Now we're not there. And actually, revisiting this picture this week, the Lord really called it back to my heart. You know, because there are elements of what we're doing which actually still look like the old house. And I feel really challenged by that. And I think the Lord is saying, no. I want you to get rid of the old house completely. And keep following after me. Keep following hard after me. We need to gain a prophetic vision for what the Lord is calling us into. And it is something new. It is something new. But it's vital that we have this connection with the Lord. Having this foundation. Sorry, that was the sort of picture of the house. But it's vital that we have this sort of foundation, this connection, direction, communication with God is so important, and we see it so clearly demonstrated in Scripture. As I said, we've read that encounter that Moses had with God at the burning bush, and we see this in Exodus 3 that God gives Moses a very clear prophetic foundation that tied together his past and his future calling as the leader of Israel. And God clearly spoke to him. And what I love about this exchange with Moses is the conversation that happened out of it. You know, I wonder what would happen if God had got to verse 10. Not that God speaks in verses, you understand. But when he'd got to this point where he said, so now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. He could have just gone, yeah, okay, fine, I'm off. But he didn't. He didn't. The next word is but. And I kind of love that about Moses. You know, it's like, but Moses said. And he entered into this conversation with God. Okay, I'm going, but I need some more information. I need a little bit more clarification on this and that. What am I going to say to them when I go there? Who do I tell them that sent me amongst them? And I love that he had this conversation and dug down into the detail, you know, because we have the same access to God. We can do the same thing. We can have the same conversation with God. He does want to speak to you. He does want to speak to you. Clearly, he wants to speak to you, communicate, and he is communicating to you all the time. You just need to tune in to the fact that he is wanting to lead you and guide you. The book of James clearly encourages us to do that. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. If we need it, ask him. Wisdom is the knowledge of God's will, his insight and direction for us. And I think it's vital for us to be able to build church up on the apostolic and prophetic foundation. Apostolic in terms of the teaching of Jesus, but the prophetic foundation is the communication, the direction, the vision of Jesus spoken to us through his word, but also to us. He doesn't contradict his word. And we need to make sure that we understand that what we're hearing is balanced against what we know and how God has revealed himself. That's due diligence. But we still need to do this work. And you may have a very clear prophetic foundation for your life, which is brilliant if you have. And I'd love to hear it if you do, because I really would love to pray for its fulfillment. But if you haven't, I want to encourage you to ask God for one. Ask God, what do you want for me? What is my life's goal? What are you setting me to? Can you give me a foundation, a direction, a vision that I can center myself on? And I want to encourage you to do that even better if you can do that with your family or if you can do that with your life group. Can we do that as a church? The strongest thing that we can unify ourselves around is Christ and his word, where he is the word.
Unity comes by agreement together. And if we receive those words, those prophetic words from God to us, it helps to set the course for our future. Again, the unity of the church, the unity of our family, the unity of our groups together is going to be one of the fiercest battles that we will contend. And when we unite ourselves on the Word of God, something that never goes, His Word stands forever. We are building on the rock. We also have something incredibly special, something very tangible, and a great foundation. Some of you say, "Well, I say, well, I don't really hear God." Well, I want to just encourage you to pursue that, to pursue the possibility that God wants to speak to you, and I want to encourage you to get hold of someone who does hear God and help and ask them to help you. Or there are some fantastic resources out there which we can direct you to. One of the guys that has really helped us, one of the books that's really helped us, is Mark Verkler's book, Four Keys to Hearing the Voice of God. Some of you are working through some of that stuff right now. But it's just great because he explains it so simply. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, that's what God sounds like. That's how he speaks to me. And it's wonderful when we start stepping into that. Yes, we know that everything needs to be tested. Tested against Scripture. Tested, you know, with people that we have spiritual insight and discernment. But practice listening. Spend time listening to him. Ask him for your foundation, for your life. I believe that he will tell you, because it tells me in Scripture that a good father doesn't give you a rock when you ask for bread. That's the first thing. The second thing is, don't journey alone. I actually happen to be somebody who loves to journey alone. I love to travel alone. I love it when I just, you know, it's just the challenge of getting to one place, you know, but also, you know, the challenge of navigating your way around a different culture and connect. It's amazing what adventures you get, you know. But as much as that happens, invariably there'll come a point when I'll go, oh, I wish Karen was here to share this with me, or I wish my dad was here to bail me out. You know, it's one of those. You know, there's a point that we all need to share with somebody. And it's in ministry and in the Christian life in general, it can be quite a lonely place. And I'm somebody who's very internally referenced. And what I mean by that is I can back my own decisions. I'm confident in making a call when I've had time to consider it. However, I found that it's really healthy and helpful and wise to have people that you can, one or two people that you can bounce things off. Does this sound right to you? Does this sound like this is? And I invite them to come and speak into my lives, you know, and I give them permission to close things. There are people who, when I've received particular words, I've gone to them and I've said, does this sound right to you? Can you see this, you know? Because, and I trust them, and I said, because if you think this is wrong, I'm willing to let it go. I'm willing to, you know, to ignore that. I look to those people for advice, you know. And when they say, okay, no, I think this is right, then I'm okay, right, that's it, I'm off, you know. But it's really important that we have people to journey with. And my advice is to earnestly seek them out. If you don't have somebody who you feel is spiritually discerning that to help you on your journey, can I encourage you? Seek them out. Find them. And don't ask for the ones that will come and just gently put an arm around you and make you feel okay all the time. Go to the ones that will ask you the difficult questions. Those are the ones that we really need. And also and you need some crazy ones as well. People will phone you in the middle of the night and go, oh, God's put a word on my heart and I just need to give it to you, you know. And they don't mind. They know that they've got permission to bother you. We had a
a couple that came got in contact with us a few weeks ago, and they said, it was just very, very cryptic. He said, we're coming down to see you. We need to set a date, put time aside. We're going to take you out to lunch because we've been praying for you and the Lord's put you on our hearts. And we need to come. Oh, this just sounds very exciting, you know. And so we met with them, and they come from a different part of the country, you know, just to see us. And it was, oh, wow, okay. And we sat there, and they went, right. And they said to us, so, tell us what's going on. I was like, sorry? I said, I thought you were going to tell me what's going on. He said, no. No, the Lord put you on our hearts, and we need to be with you. We need to be with you, and we need to pray for you. And you need to know that we're with you. Just melted my heart. That they would travel all that way. They didn't have a word from the Lord, other than the fact that they knew something was going on. And it was amazing, because it was amazing timing for us. But it was also really affirming, because as we sort of just met and we started praying together, they went, oh, I think the Lord's saying. And that's when the word came, you know. And it's wonderful to have those people in our lives. We need to seek them out. We need to ask God for them. Seek them out, but also give them permission, you know, to speak. Invite them to come and speak into your lives. I've really, you know, the fact is that Moses didn't do the job alone. You know, Aaron had to come with him. Jesus built a team. Yeah. Adam wasn't enough. He needed Eve. Amen. All the women say amen. But also, the fact is that if you've got a very clear prophetic foundation for your life, it will be contended for. And the enemy will come, and he will do everything that he can to destroy it and take you away from it and not to see it fulfilled. So you need those people around you to go, whoa, where are you going? come back. You know, that wasn't part of the plan. We need that. So even the Lone Ranger needed Tonto. So get a strong prophetic foundation. Get friends to travel with. The third thing is to stay focused. What I mean by this is do not let the past deny you. And don't let the future distract you. But let the present engage you. The way to waiting well is living in the present. I've said this before, but you know that in any project, pardon? Oh yeah, I can. Yeah. Don't let the past deny you. Don't let the future distract you. But let the present engage you. As I've said before, yeah, when you're managing projects, the hardest point is in the middle. It's the middle bit. When you've left, if you're going on a journey, if you're out on a boat, you know, and you're going somewhere, you know, you've lost sight of the land behind you. You can't see the destination in front of you, and you're in this sort of, you know, in this sort of place. That's when we become really vulnerable. And I remember, I don't know if I've told you this story before. I apologize, but we were in Cyprus once, and it was just wonderful, lovely, lovely time. And love swimming in the Mediterranean and swimming every day. And I spent most of my time in there. And this one evening, I went for a dusk swim. You know, so I was out there, you know, and swimming out, and I swam out past the point, and you could see Famagusta in the distance there. You know, and it was starting to get really dark, and I was quite a way out, and I thought, oh, I better turn, you know, and go back. Because there was a point at which I suddenly became very aware that I was alone. And there was nobody. I couldn't see anybody else. Couldn't see anybody else on the beach. There was nobody else around me. I thought, okay, time to make your way back. It was getting dark. And then the moment that I turned and started swimming for shore, there was a tune that started coming into my head. And it was this. It was like, da-dum. Da-dum. And I kid you not, those 5 minutes that it took me to get back, I think I could have competed with Michael Phelps. I was a flailing arms and limbs everywhere. But if I just simply remembered that there are no great white sharks in the Mediterranean, I think I might have been okay. The point is that there comes a point when we become really vulnerable. Actually, you know, we become aware, I'm out here on my own in this. And sometimes God does call us out. I mean, I know Jesus sent them out in twos, but he gives us a calling, and that calling is ours, you know, and sometimes we become a little bit vulnerable at times. And it's at those points that the enemy comes to us and he whispers those words. Did God really say, move to Penarth? Move to Penarth. did he really say that, you know, your friend was going to be healed completely? Did he really say that, don't worry, the money will be there? Did he say that? Did you say that a nation would be changed? The temptation in these times is to lose focus. And this is where we need those three steps. Because we'll either look back at our past failures and we'll be defined by those. And we'll kind of go, it didn't happen then. I'm not sure that, you know, it's going to happen for me now. I didn't get it right then. Maybe I've just, you know, I've not messed, you know, not got it. Or we'll get caught up in the focus of it coming to pass, especially if you are a planner like me. If your personality profile is somebody who's like, well, I need to plan this. If you get a prophetic word that God says, you know, this is going to happen to you, you're kind of going, oh God, well, what do I need to do? What am I going to do? I mean, I need to do this, and then this person and that. Oh, I can see how this is going to link to that, and that's going to link to. And all of a sudden, you're getting drawn into the future, and then you get really frustrated, and you get upset, and you get disappointed when things don't work out the way you expect them to work out. It's either your past will deny you, or your future will distract you. And we've had to learn this as a discipline. God said, because we've had some incredible prophetic, one prophetic word, which is, it was one of those, you have no frame of reference for it. Spoken to me by one person, an African leader, and then another African leader who there's no connection with them other than the fact that they met at some point in their distant past. Because when I said, "Oh, do you know this person?" and they went, "Yes, I do," but they gave the same prophetic word to me. I had no frame of reference to it, but it was just like, "Oh Lord, if you're going to do that, then I need to get busy," you know. And I started to get pulled into this, and I pulled into that. And when it didn't quite work out in the timescales that I was thinking it was working out, the Lord has said, "Son, you're operating over. I'm right here. I need you to be right here, because right here is where I'm at work. And if you don't get what I'm doing right here, then I can't take you to there." Because right here is the next step. When God speaks a prophetic word, he needs us to walk with him into the fulfillment of that. If you imagine a big valley like that, okay? Sometimes we'll get a word and God is saying, here. And we are here. And what we don't see is this. But we need to walk with him one day, one step at a time. We need to engage God in the present, because he engages us in the present. And if we don't get what he's doing now, we won't be prepared for. That's why it took 40 years to go around in the wilderness. God was preparing, and there were lessons that they needed to learn in order to be ready for the time of fruitfulness. And there was a generation that missed out. We need to engage God now. He wants to communicate his love. This is the way that we wait well for the Lord, because he is sufficient for this moment. And he's doing in you what he is wanting to impart into you. The way that he wants to communicate his love for you, his desire to use you to bring heaven to earth. Now, today, is sufficient and is totally amazing. So, get a strong prophetic foundation. Get friends to travel with. Stay focused. And the last thing, wait in faith. In Hebrews, it talks about Moses. He's one of those that's listed in Hebrews 11 by faith. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as God's Pharaoh, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And you see this long list of things that Moses did because he walked in faith. And Moses and Jesus both acted in faith from strong prophetic foundations. Jesus didn't do anything, he says, unless he saw the Father do it. John 5:19-20. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Looking with the eyes of his heart, he saw what the Father's doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Jesus was a human, like we're human. Yes, he knew his home was in heaven, but he was a human like us and acted like us. So he needed the word of the Father so that he could then operate in the power of the Spirit. And Jesus exercised his faith both in the nature and the character and the sovereignty of the Father, but with complete reliance on the dynamic power of the Spirit of God. Equally, Moses acted in obedient faith when he confronted Pharaoh and led the nation out of slavery. And when we know our prophetic foundation is sure, when we've heard it and we've tested it, and yes, okay, Lord, we receive that, and we receive it in faith, as we said at the beginning, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then we must exercise that faith. That faith is a seed that needs to be exercised. It needs to grow. We can grow our faith. How do we grow our faith? By acting out that which God has spoken over our lives. We align our lives to the word of God. I remember the first time somebody ever prophesied over me, Julian Richards from Cornerstone, and it was a very clear word. He said, "See you with boxing gloves," and he said, "I just want peace." So I see you with boxing gloves, and you're going to go into one battle after another. The Lord is training your hands and your fingers for battle. So it's preparation. He said, just like David, he said, it's going to be the bear is going to be preparation for the lion, the lion's going to be preparation for Goliath. And I was thinking, no. I just want peace. And then he said, you know, to do this, the Lord is going to give you the gifts of healing. He's going to give you the gift of prophecy and the gifts of words of knowledge. Great, fine. Didn't quite know. It was early days, you know, this. I didn't really understand what was going on with that. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I'll try and work this out. A few months later, in a different, completely different meeting, another leader said the same thing to me. I said, oh, great, yeah, that's great. And I still hadn't quite worked it. I'd started to learn about it, started to try to listen to what God was saying. And then we went to, a conference at the All Nations Centre, and Randy Clark was there, and there was a time when he was coming out, he was doing this sort of impartation, praying for people, and I thought, I want some of that, you know, and if you've been to these conferences, you know that the moment that they open it up for people to be prayed, it's just like, people just run to the front. So I thought, all right, well, I'll just go, you know, and I'll stand, and I stood in the gap that's normally there, so in the aisle, that's the way. And I was stood there, and I was assumed the position, you know. And I was, Lord bless me, you know. And I could hear people, you know, being prayed for in front of me, you know. I could hear bodies hitting the floor, and you know, and hear people praying and worshiping, you know. And it was right in front of me, and so I was there, I was full of expectation. And the next thing I know, it's behind me. And I was, what? And it just completely, and I was, I mean, I'm not easy to miss. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm, you know, and I'm stood there, and what's going on? What's going on, Lord? I really needed, you know, I just wanted something. I just wanted, you know. And I got really grumpy. I went back to my, I was like, oh, that's just not on. That's not fair. I don't know what's going on. And then I heard these words. He said, Simon, he said, you've already received everything that you need. You just need to use it. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Is there anything you want to say to me? And immediately he gave me a word. And I knew it was your dad was standing next to me. And I said, Max, does this make any sense to you? He said, I know exactly what that means. I know exactly what. I went, Lord, forgive me. Just needed to work it out. We don't need all of it. When God speaks the word, we receive it by faith. We've got to exercise it. I mean, he's gracious, and he'll keep telling you the word. But in order for it to grow, and for order to start to manifest itself in a powerfully kingdom way, you need to work it out. And it's the same. Whenever we receive the word of God, we need to receive it and then begin. It begins with our speech. We start speaking as if what God has already released in heaven is ours, is mine. Because he has said so. It's not because I've said so. It's not because anybody else has said so. It's because God has communicated that to me. I've received it. I've tested it. And now I'm going to believe it and work it out. I might not see it yet. It might tarry. But it will come. It will come. Or else, why does God give us faith? What else is it for? If we've got it covered, then we don't need it. We don't need him. Matthew 21:22 says, if we believe what? If we believe the word of God. If we believe, we will receive whatever we ask for in prayer. Where does our prayer life start? Where do our desires really start? When we want. It's when we align ourselves to the Father's heart. That's when it starts to make it. And we hear what God wants for us. When we align ourselves with him, then our desires change, are transformed. And he starts speaking those. He enables us to desire the same things that he wants. And so when he speaks those words, we can align ourselves to those words. We can pray because we've heard those words from him, either from his word or directly through to us. And we can, but we need to wait in faith. Not in hope. Hope is a different thing. Hope is something that you hope to see. In faith is different. It's a different substance. It's a substance. It's something you can grip hold of. It is that big ice cube that you can hold on to. It's God's word. It's not flaky. It's not hope. I mean, hope comes from it, but it's when dealing with something of a greater substance than hope. Faith, I really believe, is the substance that God wants us to hold on to. So I'm going to leave it there for now. But my hope is that you'll be encouraged. That God has a very specific role, a specific purpose, a specific calling for each of you. You have a prophetic foundation. It might sound grand, but it nonetheless is true. And there can be a clear sense of calling on your life. And I want to offer you the opportunity to receive it, either this morning or tomorrow or whenever there's a convenient point. If you want me to pray, I'd love to pray for you. And that's an opportunity for me to exercise my gift of prophecy and my gift of knowledge. I'd be happy to pray for you. You may already have received a word from the Lord and it's tarrying. I want to ask you to go back to the Lord and continue to have that conversation with him. Don't just leave it. Go back and say, Lord, what is it that you need me to do? What else do I need to put in place? What's the next step? He'll give you the strategy. As I said, he's your dad. He won't give you a rock when you ask him for bread. And if you need friends to journey with, get into a life group. Get connected. Ask God to send you the crazy ones and the ones who will ask you difficult connections. Stay focused. Don't allow the enemy to deny you. Don't allow him to distract you. Walk humbly with God. One day at a time. And lastly, when you've received that word of God and it's been tested and confirmed, align your lives to it. Align your lives to it as you can with every promise that God makes in Scripture. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. When he speaks, he creates something from nothing. Let's pray together. I invite the band to come back up as well. Father God, we bless you and we thank you that your word is true. That we can build our lives on the foundation of your word to us. We thank you, Father, that you have a desire to communicate directly to us, Lord. We thank you for your word that has been given to us and reveals everything that we need to know about you, your nature and your character and your person. But Lord, I thank you also that you speak to us, that you get personal with us and you help us and you guide us. And Lord, that you're wanting to give us direction. Lord, in fact, it's the way you've designed us, is to be completely dependent on you. And so I want to pray this morning, Lord, that you would once again, if you, Lord, just continue to speak those words over each one of us, Lord. Confirm what you've said to each one of us, Lord. And I want to pray, Father, for those whose faith in that word, Lord, has been waning and and they become disappointed, Lord. And maybe the enemy has drawn them either into the future or is trying to deny them from the past, Lord. I want to pray, Lord, that you'd center them again today on you, on your word for them, on the nature and the character of your faithfulness, Lord, and your love for us, Lord, unequivocal and eternal in its nature. And I pray, Lord, that you would restore strength where the enemy has tried to weaken, Lord. I pray that you would restore clarity, Lord, where the enemy is trying to rob, Lord, and take people out of their destiny. Lord, I pray for us as a church, Lord, that you would build a strong prophetic foundation for us. Give us the clarity that we need, Lord, for ourselves as a body, as a family, in moving forward. We thank you that you have spoken, Lord, and we thank you that you will speak again. And we bless you for that, Lord. We thank you for each other. We just invite you, Lord, as we continue to worship you, that you would enable us to hear clearly from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.